Nice, crisp morning. That's a euphemism for cold, you know. Today we're continuing in the book of Genesis, and it seems like the book of Genesis just seems to have a little bit of everything. It's the beginning of all things, and so as we think about all the things that God created. Have you ever thought of God's creation as a gift? Have you ever thought about that? And it's the gift that He gives to all of us. All of humanity has these gifts that God has given. In fact, God set up the whole creation for mankind. The whole creation, everything that He did. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, but the fact that the stars, there's how many stars out there? Who can count the stars? Yeah. Well, you could get pretty high just counting the galaxies, right? I mean, there's a bunch of them, and each of them has billions of stars. And did you know that God set them all in place just so you could look at them? That little light in the sky, God set up there for you. And I don't know, maybe you don't enjoy that as much. I enjoy looking at the stars and seeing. And the funny thing is, God made it in a way that even if we got one of the spy glasses and looked up, we could see more, right? And even if we got up the best telescope in the United States, we could even see more. God made it in such a way that we would be seeking out His creation, all of our, it doesn't matter how technologically inventive we become, we can still go further. In fact, you get the radio telescopes and you can go even further than that. And God set that up for you and me to challenge our mind, to make us think, to expand our horizons, to know how big this God that created us is. And all of creation, that's just a small part of the creation that God made light. How many different colors of light are there? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, they got some of the colors that they come up with. I don't know. I used to think there's just blue and red and black and green and, you know, white and all. That's the colors. But, you know, they got all kinds of different varieties. Aqua. What color is that? Or turquoise. Or, you know, I was just, they have the big boxes of crayons. I did well with just the little box, you know. 10 colors and that did it for me. But think of all the variety of colors that God has made. Oh, the sunset. How many colors can you see in a sunset or a sunrise? And God gave that as a gift to delight our eyes, to lift our spirits, to give us joy. All the things of creation, or water. How many different forms of water are there? Well, there's ocean water, and you got spring water, and the different kinds of water. How many of you like the waves? Do you like listening to the waves, or a brook? You know, they actually sell tapes so that you can relax. Listening to, or do you like the rain on a tin roof? I like that. I don't like it when it roars, but when it rains gently on a tin roof, that's just so relaxing. All the different ways that God has given us, and in water. And then He created the land and the mountains. Whenever we first moved to Florida and we got the same kind of a similar experience coming here, how far you can see out on the plains. You know, just the sky is so big. Or if you go up to the mountains, I don't know, just every turn you see something different. And every view and the trees and all the things that God created of beauty just for us. The plants, the flowers. How many of you ladies would like to have a flower garden? Would you like to do that? I mean, to me, flowers don't make any sense. You can't eat them. Well, some of them you can, but you know, and yet, who of us isn't encouraged or blessed when we see a beautiful flower garden? That the flower, and it takes work, doesn't it? Takes work. You have to prepare the soil, and just for the beauty of it. And so I think we can look at all the things that God has. I like trees. Anyone like trees? I mean, especially Vanjie. She had me stop about 5 times this week along the road just getting out of Alfred. I got to take a picture. Now Vanjie likes water in a certain form that nobody much likes, and that's snow. She loves that snow, and it's just so beautiful, and it is. It is. And ice crystals and the way they form. I mean, there's so much for all of us in what God has created. And then animals. How many of you like baby animals? I mean, I don't. Or sometimes big animals. You ever, Shirley, you have a picture of a tiger there on your wall, don't you? And why? Because it's beautiful. And we're just seeing all the things that God created for you and me so that we could have joy, so that our spirits could be lifted, so we could see the strength of certain animals, so that we could see the power. Maybe one day we'll go up to Niagara Falls and just watch and hear and the power of those falls. Or maybe you look at the Grand Canyon, just see the size and scale and colors. You see, God gave creation so that we could enjoy. And food. Anyone like to eat? Some of us like to eat too much, don't we? Or we eat too much. We like it good, but we eat too much when we do. I mean, think of the different flavors that you can get. I mean, how many different flavors? I mean, a cookbook upon cookbook upon cookbook. There are just so many flavors and things that just, it's something God gave us good to enjoy. And how many of us are starving because we don't have food in our house? I don't think there's anybody, are we? And so to be thankful, to be appreciative, to enjoy what God has. This is the creation that God, and these are gifts. Each one are gifts to the human race. How many of you like sounds and music? Anyone like music? Yeah. We had, our board went to listen to, at the Temple Baptist Church. And we went there to just hear the sounds and what kind of things that could be done. And that's why we're having this thing on music. And we had Monica sang for us with their microphone system and the background music and all that. And I'll tell you what, God has given us the opportunity to delight in music. Or you ever heard somebody play the piano that's just immaculate, or the flute, or the violin? How many different sounds? Guitar, or the harp? And God gave them for all for us to enjoy. He did. Even the drums and all the instruments, the tambourine, and every instrument in its own voice, its own sounds, God gave us for us to enjoy. And all these are gifts that God gave. And so we need to, as we look at these verses, I want you to think about the various gifts and the way God set it up for us to enjoy. Now, the first thing we might want to mention as we get into chapter 2 of Genesis, and that's where we're going to be most of the time, but you know that the verse divisions in the Bible are not inspired necessarily. Did you know that you need to read the verse after it and the verse before to make sure it's not part of the same sentence? Because sometimes, in fact, Paul will write 7 verses in one sentence in the first in Romans 1. But sometimes the verse divisions actually hinder our understanding of the Bible. And so you need to read, as it were, a paragraph or several paragraphs. And especially in this division between chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis. How many of you ever noticed that chapter 1 and chapter 2 are not divided properly in Genesis? What's chapter 1? It's creation. How many days of creation? 6 days of creation. What's chapter 2 start with? The seventh day. I mean, how, something's wrong there, isn't it? If you have the 6 days of creation, you need the seventh day. Because there's actually 7 days to creation, not six. Because in the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath? For 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and he rested the seventh day. The seventh day is part of the six. And yet somebody decided that they wanted to divide that up. Well, as we read the fourth verse of this chapter, chapter 2, we see here's a new start. Here's a place that would be a good place to divide these chapters. I'll let you kind of think about why they were divided that way. If you get a good reason, you come up and tell me after service. Anyhow, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day or time that the Lord made the heaven and earth, or the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth. Now, we don't know what that is. Can you get a heavy dew where it's really wet? So whatever God did, it wasn't raining. But there was something to water out of the mist that came up, or the spray, or whatever it was from the earth. Anyway, I won't try to get into the science of that. I didn't do very well in some science courses. Anyway, to water the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man. Now, this is a second version, in a sense, or the second explanation of some of creation. So you have chapter 1 where God created man in verse 27, but here is how God did it. It says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So it wasn't until, you had everything, all the parts there, but it wasn't until God breathed into the man that he became a living soul. And the Lord God, now I want you to think of this in the terms of the gifts that we had talked about before, and because God formed everything that he made around people. Everything that God made was to sustain human life on this earth. He had a purpose. He had us in mind, from the stars Earth works, the rains, and everything that works was geared to build that perfect home for human beings. That means for you and me. So it says here, God formed man out of dust, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. East of what? Anyone think about why it's eastward in Eden? Eastward of the promised land, probably, because that's their reference point, the Israel, Jerusalem. Eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant first to sight and for food, and the tree of life which is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God put all this there for man, for human, for us. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first was the Pison, and which encompassed the whole land of Halava. Don't know where that is, but there was gold there, and the gold there is good, and delium and onyx stone. Any of you know your rocks? What color is an onyx stone? Huh? Black? Onyx? Okay. What color is delium? I don't know that one. Okay. Well, I should have looked it up, shouldn't I? Anyway, you can look it up. That'll give you your homework project for this week. And the name of the second was Gihon. And the same encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia usually refers to Africa, or because that's the northern part of Africa, east side of Africa. And the name of the third was Hiddekel. Now, this is the Tigris. This is another name for the Tigris, which goes toward the east of Assyria. So to the east of Assyria is where the Tigris goes. The fourth is the Euphrates, and everybody knew where that was, and it still is there. And God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, we're going to get to another section here, not today, but this is where the first lie comes in to the earth. God said, if you eat it, you shall surely die, or dying, you shall die. What's the lie? If you eat it, you won't really die. That's what Satan said, right? We're going to get to that a little bit later. But that's where the first, God said, you shall surely die. You will die. Death will come if you disobey. But Satan says, no, you won't surely die, because God knows the days you eat of it, you shall become as gods. Anyway. And the Lord said, it is not good. Now, this is some of these verses are really critical. He says, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a help suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl and of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh there instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, when God made man, he made him for purposes. And I didn't read this, but I want to get to this on the bottom of the first half of your bulletin. It says, then God made the first man with a mind and senses to enjoy the one and wonder, to inquire and to understand and to relate to his creator. God made us for that purpose, so that creation would challenge us. Creation would cause our minds to dream and think and try to understand. And God made us to think and to reason, to inquire, to know, to understand, to plan, and to accomplish. All of creation was geared so that we could be the human beings that God created us to be. Now, if we look at the first two verses of what I read there, let's look at verse 8, I'll say. God started with the Garden of Eden. And in this, he gave, I like the way it puts it there. And the Lord planted in the garden eastward of Eden, and out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. God included beauty in what he made. And so, ladies, it's nice for you to dress in pretty clothes. It's nice. It's beautiful. It's good. It's good to fix your hair nice. Man, it's good for you to shave once in a while. We aren't talking to Andrew there, but no. or keep your beard neatly trimmed, right? It's good. It's good to put on a little deodorant, guys, every so often. It helps. You know, first, people have to deal with the necessities. I mean, whenever you're talking about a family, you have to put food on the table, don't you? You have to be sure the bills are paid and the heat works and all that kind of stuff. But after the necessities, there's something else. Don't forget that just as God made the Garden of Eden with things that were pleasant and good for food and a day of rest, it is good to relax now and then. I know this German mentality, you got to work yourself into the ground. That might be okay if it's a necessity. But it's good to sit back and relax a little bit. To enjoy the things that God made. To savor good food. I have a problem with that. I mean, I eat so fast, I just shovel it in. You know? Any of you guys or girls do that? You just shovel it in. Take a time to chew it. And taste it. You know, it's actually better for your health if you do. And to enjoy. You might not need to eat so much if you enjoy what you do eat. Take a little time and relax and enjoy it. To savor the good food. To enjoy good friends. God made things to be enjoyed. It isn't just a life of drudgery and weariness. And take the time. In the South, they'd always have the front porch, and everybody would gather while you're shelling beans or something on the front porch in the summertime and just talk, just spending time. And then to make and appreciate beauty, we need to take the time to do that. And I think this idea of the garden is God's way of telling us there are things that are not just so that you can make sure you got food on the table, but so that you've got time to enjoy the food on the table. I think God made beauty, and we need to enjoy it. And that's in all areas of life. In the next few verses there, you have Genesis verse 10 there, 2 verse 10, and it talks about the river that went out. And I don't know if you can see this. This isn't very, very clear up here, but here is the Euphrates, and here's the Tigris, and they all end up in that upper part there. And so whenever he's talking about this area, it's the land between the two rivers is the kind of the cradle of civilization. So in between these two rivers is where they think might have been the Garden of Eden. We don't know because there's a big flood and it destroyed everything and changed everything. But some people will surmise that. But the other thing is that, and here's another picture of it, that on this area you have Mount Ararat. That's where what happened on Mount Ararat? Huh? The arks landed. And so I don't know whether people went out into the plain down in this area, but here you have, in this area, you have Babel, so they Babylon. And so what happened in Babel? Olivia, what happened in Babel? What was there on Babel? One big tall tower, yeah. And what were they going to do? You remember they were going to build a tower that went to heaven, and they were actually building it up against God, and so God confused the languages, and then they went out. But and down in here is the Ur of the Chaldees, and who came from Ur of the Chaldees? Huh? Abraham, right. And so you have, and of course he went up, when he went to Israel, he probably followed this route around, and actually that route around shows us one of the other aspects of this that you'll hear in history, and it's called the Fertile Crescent, because you have all this area here that's fertile and has a lot of civilization started here, but civilization also started in Egypt there. So you have some of those things, and Nineveh has a big place in early civilization as well. But somewhere in this area, we think that civilization might have started. And let's go on down to verse 15 here. And it says, "And God took man and put him in a garden of Eden to dress it." God did not leave us without things to do. How many of you need a job? Not because you need money, but you need something to do. It is not good to not have anything to do. Folks, when you retire, what's the quickest way to die? Sit down and quit. That's the quickest way. That's the way you really grow old, is sit down and quit. Now, sometimes you work too hard, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the need. And so God gave man a thing to do, gave humans a thing to do, and that was to dress the garden, to keep it, to watch over it. And God gives us our individual gardens, our lives. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's it could be your farm. It could be your housework. It could be your children. Whatever he gives you to do, he expects you to do it well. I don't know what Adam had to do. Maybe he had to water the flowers. I don't know. Maybe he had to hoe, there wouldn't be any weeds yet, so I don't know if he had to hoe the weeds or not, but to keep and dress the garden. God gave that for Adam to do. And then he also gave him certain responsibilities. God always gives parents. Do you give your kids responsibilities? What are they? What kinds of responsibilities? You don't do this, and you do that. And one of the problems today is that a lot of parents just set their kids in front of the TV and go. That's their babysitter. Or they give them a video game and let them go. They say there's a new disease where your thumbs get wore out because you're too busy pressing the buttons. And actually, I think your eyes don't do so well with all the video stuff. And so there needs to be things to do, and God certainly gave Adam and Eve things to do, responsibilities and boundaries. You need to give your children, this is the way, or this is what you don't do, this is what you do. As adults, we need those boundaries. There's certain things. How do we set up the boundaries? By the things that God says. And so they had boundaries, don't eat this. And Adam, the first sin involved food. Did you know that? The first sin involved food. So maybe we ought to watch ourselves there. Now, this last part of this, I think, is really critical, because God observed Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. I want you to think about it. It's not good for you to be alone. It's not good. I mean, there are times you need to be alone. That's fine. There are times you need to pray. Times you need to study. But it's not good for you to be alone. I need relationships. Every one of us needs relationships. We need to build those relationships. One good way to be alone is to condemn everybody else, or to judge other people, or to be angry with other people. That's a good way to be alone. In fact, I think that part of the commandments is simply to teach us how to get along, how to treat each other, learning patience with each other. It is not good to be alone. And that means, ladies, you need lady friends. You need to find those friendships and those relationships. Men, you need guys. You need to do things with guys. You need to go to those men's retreats. You need to spend time sitting around the table and talking. You need to have those relationships. You need to build them. Because I guarantee you, they don't build themselves. Of course, whenever he was talking, it's not good for man to be alone. He was talking about Adam, who was totally alone. And so he showed him his aloneness. He got him naming the animals. You think Adam figured something out when he's naming the animals? Here's a male lion. There's a female lion. Okay. There's a male gorilla. There's a female gorilla. There's a male cockatoo. There's a female cockatoo. Whatever kind of things there were, he noticed the difference. And I wonder if he said, "Where's mine?" You know? And God made the woman for the man, so that he wouldn't be alone. He set it up that way. And they found out that men and women were kind of different, right? He figured that out. She figured that out when she was made. They're different, but they're the same. And we need to rejoice in the differences. Ladies, you do better at detail stuff than I do. I won't say than all men, but you do better at the detail stuff than I do. Remembering things, you do better at that than I do too. You know? And men, it's like a man gets his focus on one thing and he's going to do it no matter what. That garage needs built, right? That snow needs moved. Men get their one focus, and so men have a certain way of thinking and women have a little bit different. I don't know if that's universal, but that's been my experience. And so he made that first man for that woman. He says, God said it's not good for man to be alone, and I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, a lot of times, guys and girls, what you end up doing is you marry this person. Of course, it's all beautiful at first, and I'm speaking to our two newly married couples, and our older married couples, too. When you're dating, oh, everything, yes, whatever you want, honey, you know? Everything you want, whatever you want, that's fine. Yes, dear. You know, we get all that in. But then somehow once we get married, sometimes that yes, dear becomes, why'd you ask me to do that? Why don't you do it yourself? You know? We need to figure out that this is not a competition. Sometimes we look at God and Jesus and say, that's a competition. It's not a competition. Their oneness, the closeness that Jesus and the Father have, are such that they are on the same team. They have the same goals. They have the same purpose. Men, women, you guys need to get yourselves together and figure out what is God calling us to do. And make it your purpose as a family. Your goal overall. How do we raise these children? How do we get them to love the Lord? How do we together teach them what they need to know? And it needs to be a common goal of the family. It needs to be things in common and working together. You know, so many times when I'm just going through this preparing for marriage thing, and so many times people don't even think past the wedding day. They just think, oh, it's beautiful now. But they don't think, well, what am I going to do for a living? How is she going to complement that or vice versa? They don't think about, well, we've got to work together at this. Because God absolutely hates divorce. And if you happen to be in a marriage where it isn't working as good, you got to figure out how to make it work. We are on the same team in a marriage. And we need to be working and encouraging one another, uplifting one another, helping one another. You can't do it alone. You can, but the marriage won't work very well if you try. Finally, we get to this idea of Adam and creation. And God performed the first operation, by the way. You know, he pulled that rib out and made a woman. He didn't take it from up here so that she could be above him. Didn't take it from down here so that she could be under his feet. And this is something somebody else said, and I don't even know where I heard it, but he didn't take it out of their feet, did he? So she could be underneath him. She took it out, God took it out of the rib. And you know, I used to count to see how many ribs I had on each side because I knew that there was one missing. As a kid, you know, I said, wait a second, how many I got here? Because I figured everybody was missing a rib too. At any rate, he took it from under the arm so she could be protected. He took it from the side so she could go along side by side. He took it where they could be loved and protected. Women are not to be under our feet, men. They are not to be our servants, men. In fact, if anybody's to be the servant, who's to be the servant in the relationship of marriage? Just as Christ sacrificed himself and became a servant. Gentlemen, we need to become men of God. Ladies, you need to be the godly woman. You need to stand up and be the godly. You know, you're in home, usually in the home a whole lot more than the men are. You need to set the tone, the pace, the rhythm of the home. You need to be organized. You need to get your ducks in a row. The man, you know, it says a man that's a godly man, a woman that's godly, he doesn't have to go out after spoil. That means he doesn't have to go and conquer and steal something because everything's working in the home and saving in the home and using wisely what the man gets if he's doing the work. Now, if you both are working, that's a little different picture. But if you have the opportunity to lead your children to Jesus Christ, to set a stage where they can accept Christ. Now the man, he has to do his part because he is a spiritual leader. Men, you've got to get on your knees. You need to be praying. You need to be fasting. You need to be seeking God's face. You need to be sure you're following God's will. It's a team effort. Each person doing their part to the glory of God. And he said to Adam, and then Adam, when God made this woman, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone." Husbands, wives, she is part of you. He is part of you. Whether you're the man or the woman, they are part of you. You don't think separately. You don't think your goals, her goals. You think our goals. We need to receive. One of the things that we learned in preparing for marriage is there's three things you got to do. You got to receive that person. You got to cleave to that person. And you have to raise a godly heritage. You cleave. First you receive them, just as they are. Warts and whatever you're missing or whatever you got or whatever it is, you receive that person as they are. And you cleave to that person like glue. You just, everything you do, you work toward that unity. And then you do everything that you can to produce, to mirror the image of God and to create a godly heritage. You see, the oneness that is there, the man and the woman, the oneness represents or shows off the oneness between the Father and the Son. Just as you are one, it says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be one." That oneness. And by your not being at oneness with your mate, that marriage represents the bride of Christ, or the bride of Christ and Christ, the church. Christ and the Father, that oneness is represented there. When you don't forgive, when you're angry with your mate, you're showing a division in the family of God. When you are bitter toward, when you say hurtful things, you're showing a division. You're not showing, because see, our relationship as a husband and wife is to show the relationship and the love of God to the world, so that everybody may see, this is what a godly family is like, and this is what God is like. This is the way it should be. And you have the responsibility of showing that in your marriage and in your home. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Primary relationship is not with your parents. Primary relationship is with the one you marry. Leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then they had total innocency, so they could run around naked, not even feel ashamed. God created us to worship and honor Him. If we go back to creation, that's the purpose. To enjoy the wonder and beauty and majesty. And you know, at some point along the way, starting with Adam and Eve, actually, we lost that joy and beauty and wonder and right relationship. And you know what God wants? He sent His Son, Jesus, so that our relationship could be restored. All of our relationships. Just as whenever Jesus comes, all of creation is going to come back into line. Well, God made Jesus, sent Jesus His Son, so that all of our relationships, if you're having problems in your home, if you're having problems with your friends, if you're having problems at work, God intended, He sent Jesus so that all those relationships, as we get our relationship with Him right, then our relationship with each other starts changing. And so I want to encourage you, because we can go back to Eden. We can. They had the perfect setting. Everything was perfect. No weeds, no problems. No. God is trying to bring us back in our relationship, in our heart, and then one day in eternity, right back to where we're in fellowship with Him and with each other the way we should be. And so as we look at these verses, I hope you see the possibilities and you follow those where that leads you into that perfect relationship with Jesus Christ, because there's no other way that we can come into those good relationships that we would like to see except through Jesus Christ. I like this little girl because she just looking at whatever she's looking at, a flower, and she just has a joy in her smile. And that's what God wants to bring to your heart, a joy, a thrill. So you're bursting out with the love and joy of Jesus Christ. Let's close with a song. And